Good morning.
Hi, it's good to see you.
I'm Nancy.
I'm Randy.
And we're the Alcorns.
I'm the token male. And I have three microphones on here for different purposes, so we'll see how this works. But Nancy's going to hold that one, and that way you'll be able to hear and record. And so should we just take these questions? Mandy, where are you? That we've been given and just respond to these? That's how we start? Okay, great. All right. What is it to protect the environment of your home? What does that look like? Let me start with a passage of scripture, Deuteronomy 6, which is it's a great passage that addresses many things related to parenting. But I'm just going to back up a little bit into Deuteronomy 5 to the reason we want to start with scripture is, you know, we can give all kinds of opinions. But God says his word will not return to him empty without accomplishing the purpose for which he sent it. He never says that about our words. He only says it about his word. So we want to make sure that we're not just giving our opinions. We'll give plenty of those. But that they're grounded in his word. So, and that itself is a model for parenting, to ground things in God's word. But in Deuteronomy 5, God is saying, just to set the context for Deuteronomy 6, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all of my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. And notice that it is that their hearts would be inclined to fear me, that the hearts of the parents, these are the adults, would be inclined to fear me and keep my commands, that it might go well with them and their children. Why? Because if the hearts of the parents are inclined toward God, then it's a natural state in the home for the hearts of the children to be inclined toward God. So when we're talking about protecting a home environment, protection usually implies against the negative things. And that's very true. There are very negative things in this world. But if we simply try to keep the negative out and don't focus on bringing the positive in, number one, it's not going to work. And number two, it creates a negative model for the home. Oh, we'll be spiritual Pharisees if we just check off the box and we don't watch the wrong programs and we don't get into the bad things on the internet. And we're all for not getting into the bad things. And we're all for watching the right programs and not watching the wrong ones, all of that. But there needs to be more. The heart needs to be inclined. So then it says in Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, be careful to obey that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly, that you'll experience these blessings for you and your children. Then it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. There it is again, with all your heart, not just with your head, not just check off the box, get these doctrines straight, as important as that is, but with your heart and your soul and your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, says it again, impress them on your children. And it's like engraving in wet cement. You know, they're very impressionable. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So surround yourself with the Word of God. Listen to audios of the Word of God. Have the positive aspects of spiritual input to your home, and then you can move to dealing with the negative. Nancy?
Well, so basically to sum up what he said was, if you're asking the question, what does it mean? Why are we talking about protecting the environment of your home? It's because home is where you raise your kids. Home is where mom and dad are. Home is the parameter that we're talking about today, but basically it's kind of open season to ask questions about how to raise kids, because the environment of your home is where your kids are being raised.
Home is where it all starts. I mean, it's the reference point. You can read all these studies about the influence of peers on children, and we really believe that. Peers, extremely important. But just remember, the total amount of time that your children have with you, it's greater with you than it is with anyone else. And that's as it should be. And God has entrusted their care to you, to your husbands, and that is where it begins.
I think another thing that I thought about right away when I saw this question was, I was talking to our daughter Angela, who is here today, so you can ask her
yes.
questions too. She was saying, I had invited her to come over a couple of days ago to see our new puppy, which I had to mention. We have a new baby. Anyway, and when we were talking on the phone, she apologized. She said, you know, Mom, I know they've already been over to play with the puppy before, but we didn't come over the other day because we were having such a great time at home. The guys were playing together. She has two sons, and they were playing together well. And home feels really good to their family. They love to be home. And we talked about how important that is and how it can be something that isn't real common nowadays. People are not home. But for you to be able to build the kind of environment where home is really where your kids want to be. Randy and I were talking about this morning, that part of it is sacrifice. You know, when your kids get older, your home needs to be the party house. Because if your home is the party house, you know what your kids are up to, you know?
And you know who your kids' friends are, and you know which ones to encourage them toward, and which ones, there's red flags, yellow flags, whatever, and you be able to sit down and say, nah, you know, you don't even always say it directly, but you encourage, certainly there's a place for the directness, but you encourage your kids to be with people who are godly and who love Jesus and want to pursue him, as opposed to those who are always like pressing, you know, climbing over the fence, not just in a literal sense, but in a figurative and moral sense, and always pushing things to the edge. What are some things that threaten our young children? How do we respond to these in an age-appropriate manner? Want to start?
It's kind of a generic question. Things that threaten, I mean, wow. The input, you know, as kids at a very, very early age, they know what's going on. I mean, you know, they know what you're watching on TV, you know. I would say input threatens your children, and it's either going to be positive or negative. And, you know, there's nothing neutral, you know. It's either going to be positive or negative. And so I would say that a great threat to young kids nowadays is the lack of a filter in your lives, in your home, away from the things that they shouldn't be exposed to. And again, what Randy said before, what are the things they shouldn't be exposed to? Your basis is the Word of God. Your basis isn't what your mother says. Your basis isn't what Oprah says. You know, it's what does the Word of God teach?
Right. So we certainly know that there was a time in the history of our country, including when we were growing up, where the only thing that was coming into a home was radio, which was pretty innocuous at that point, or three or four broadcast networks, which were new on the horizon. That's how old we are. And there was...
And the printed.
Of course, the printed word. But what I mean is the printed word you bring into your home. The others come into your home, and they're there, and they're available to you and your children. Well, now in a world where there are hundreds and hundreds of television stations, if you have cable, which, you know, we don't. Some people do, and some people handle it well. And others, it's just one more way to either be tempted to watch the wrong thing, or to find, because some things are somewhat neutral. I mean, you know, watching Leave It to Beaver all day will not corrupt you morally, but it will waste your time. See, so that's where you have to say there are the things.
Leave It to Beaver was a show that used to be on TV.
Yes. Yes. But fortunately, because of Family Channel and all of those
things. And I think the worst words were golly, Wally. What are you up to?
Yeah, golly, Wally. Yeah, that's right. One of the descriptions of Leave It to Beaver that I read was, Wally wears a loud tie. Wow.
And that's what the whole show was about.
Yeah, that's what the show was about. But.
Well, another thing, again, bringing up the puppy, but before we left today, we put fences up to keep that dog in our kitchen. Number one, to keep her safe, and number two, to keep my house safe, because I didn't want her, you know, ruining the carpet and chewing up everything that she came up to. And so I think our society is doing quite well in keeping our kids safe physically. We put them in, I joke with Randy, it's like putting them into the space shuttle every time we put our grandkids into a car seat, especially babies, all the straps that you've got them and everything. You train them not to go in the road. You hold their hands. You know, you keep the poisons away up, you know, or your lock, we've got cupboards with all those locks and everything. We're really good at that. I think we need to realize that more. We need to realize that there is that the moral poison, you know, is something that we need to have our guards up to. We need to have fences and be very determined about those fences.
Yeah, given the ages of your kids, a lot of you have kids, most of you have kids, I guess, five or less, right? And so that's part of your world. So do you have those little latches on things? You know, certain cupboards that you want to keep them out of. Well, what you're doing is you're practicing something which years ago wasn't always done. There were households where there were poisons under the sink, including the house that I grew up in, and I could have, but I didn't, you know. But we're so conscious of protecting physically, that's fine. That's great. And again, I grew up in an era where my friend's dad pickup truck, and we'd all pile in the back of the pickup truck and go somewhere. Okay, so we could look at that now. We could say, wow, that wasn't smart. You know, that wasn't smart at all. I can't even conceive of that. Yeah, but today we have the opposite problem on the moral and spiritual levels, because there are people who wouldn't think of exposing their kids to physical dangers who every single day allow their children to just watch whatever is on television, to change the channels, to go to the internet and go in there and look at whatever is there. And I was reading, and this relates to the question I was reading the other day, that years ago, the average age at which a child first was exposed to pornography was age 13. Now, even that, you know, should sort of take our breath away. The average age now, statistically, is age 8. Well, it's just accessibility. So, and I'll say a very honest thing, not to demean him or my memory of him, because later in life he came to faith in Christ. But when I was growing up, you know, I discovered a Playboy under my dad's magazine, under my dad's, you know, side of the bed, and I would go in there, I would look at that, and I was about age, you know, 12 or 13 or whatever when I discovered that. Okay, but now imagine, and this is something that I've said to parents before, but now imagine parents who are raising their children and letting them have laptop computers or desktop computers in the privacy of their own room, and then expecting, boy or girl, but just from a male perspective, expecting that boy to not look at pornography on the internet is absolutely no different than buying thousands of printed, you know, magazines with the pictures in them, piling them up in his closet and saying, don't look at those. Of course he's going to look at those. And so part of this is, don't be naive thinking not simply that it's out there, but it's going to come into your home unless you take very calculated, careful measures to prevent it from coming into your home. How can we teach our children to value purity in the midst of our culture? How can we begin to instill those values at a very young age?
I think purity is a really interesting issue because children, they don't understand the need for modesty until a certain age. They just don't. But, and again, we were talking about this morning, but wisdom is something that you all should desperately desire for yourselves as well as your children. Wisdom is basically taking knowledge, things that you know to be true, and again, we're talking the Bible as our resource, taking that knowledge and then utilizing it. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the tool, and it can only be used properly, just like a computer, if you have the right input. And so a child can't just be told you shouldn't look at that, or little girl, I've decided that I'm not going to let you wear that just because it's not modest. What does modest mean? You need to things need to be explained, and even at a very early age, you know, appropriate, you know, because it's not nice, because, you know, or whatever it is, you know, but you need to give them reasons behind it, because otherwise, this little girl, speaking from a girl's point of view, this little girl is going to grow up thinking, Daddy doesn't like me wearing things that are too tight or too short, but that's Daddy's opinion, and I've never really been told why. And so as soon as Daddy's not looking, you know, I'm going to stick the stuff in my backpack when I'm in junior high, and I'm going to pull them out and put the new clothes on as soon as I get to school. And don't tell me you guys didn't do that, because it happens, you know, because she doesn't know why. And then you have to take it a step further. You need to understand. You need to understand why. And then you need to instill it in their hearts so that it's something that they own. They don't just understand it, but they own it, and they truly believe what it is that you're trying to tell them. And so if modesty, for instance, is something worth practicing in your home, and we say it is because that's where purity starts, it needs to be with that process. It's a whole lot of communication. It's a whole lot of, this is why, sweetheart. It's a whole lot of, this is what a boy thinks when he sees you wearing that, sweetheart. You know, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And if they understand why, then the dialogue can continue even further to have it be ingrained in their heart and have it realize that not only do I understand that, but I agree with that, and that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then she's less apt to throw the mini skirt in her backpack and put it on when she gets to school. Mm. Because she owns that.
Nancy Lee DeMoss, some of you familiar with Nancy Lee, and you know, go to her her website, and I think, do we have in our resources probably a link to the website? We actually do have, just put up yesterday, the gals in our office put up this link that specifically relates today and some of the things that we're talking about. But there are some great resources, so you might want to jot that down and just, you can go to our website, then you can see the resources listed. We're still adding some yesterday afternoon. And probably one of the links in there, I'm guessing, is to Nancy Lee's website. But if not, just, you know, put in Nancy DeMoss and you'll find it. But there are clothing, you know, kind of values with clothing and how to choose the right clothes and the difference that it makes for females in particular, but obviously it does some for males. But as we've been saying, and as Nancy just said, the heart is so critical to this, and wisdom is so critical to this. Now, wisdom is something which you as a parent have to offer your children. Scripture says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And what that means is that if the primary sources of input for your child are other children, then they will live in a world of fools. I mean, we love them, but they just will do foolish things. So your job is as the parent to be wise, not foolish. But that's not automatic, because you know what? You can be in your 20s and be foolish. You can be in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, et cetera, and be foolish.
If you want to instill purity in your children, if you still aren't totally convinced that purity is God's way for you, then how are you going to do it for your kids? And so it starts with you.
Sure. And if the kids see, if girls or guys growing up see their dad look at that beer commercial and look at the woman with the cleavage and look at this and look at that, and watch the Blazer Dancers, and watch the this, and watch the that. If they see that, then the norm in that home is impurity. It's fine to look with lust. I mentioned a couple of years ago, they did a study of most popular television programs among 12-year-old girls, most watched programs, and the survey indicated that it was Desperate Housewives. So you're thinking, first of all, why are 12-year-old girls even being allowed to watch something like that? And I think the answer is because of immunization. We've become so accustomed to the immoral that the celebration of the immoral doesn't even, it doesn't register. So I think one of the things that we have to do is to make sure, in terms of cultivating purity in the home related to the question, is to make sure that we are pursuing a life of sexual purity and that we are modeling purity. And one of the ways to do that when you're watching television is the immediate change of the channel when the commercial comes on. Often we would, flip it up to PBS or, something where you might be seeing something on evolution or something, but it might not philosophically be, exactly worldview, but at least it's not this image that's, and then we come back to the program that we're watching and using your discernment as you watch. And you model that. See, if a little girl, little boy grows up in a home where the moment something inappropriate comes on, that channel is changed, then that registers with, okay, if I look and my eyes go over here and I see something I shouldn't see, I should do the equivalent of the channel change. Immediately turn away. And your kids get really good at that. We did that in our home, and Angie was great. She'd be, the moment something going on, change the channel, like that. Or she'd grab it and change the channel. And that's great. That's exactly what you want to cultivate in your kids, but it's not going to happen unless that's a value that you try to model. You read that one.
I don't have my glasses.
Oh, well, I'll read that one.
I keep pointing at you.
How can we respectfully talk to our husbands when things are being allowed into our homes that may be questionable? How can we create a safe haven for them in our home?
That is a good question. Because it's happening. Some husbands or maybe grandpas if you're at their house, or uncles, or whoever it is, you're going to be at somebody's house and they're going to have posters in their man cave, or they're going to have things on television or magazines around that you do not approve of. And in particular, when it comes to having people that are living in your own home, like your husband, to whom you are supposed to submit, that is a really good question. And I'm going to let Randy take this, but also I just start by saying that you can approach your husband in a way which can be maybe confrontive, but respectful at the same time. And if he knows you to be a woman that respects him and loves him and doesn't think he's a jerk to begin with, then it's going to be easier for him to take criticism or reproof. That's really what's happening here. How do you, you're actually coming to reprove him, to say, I not only do I wish you wouldn't watch that show when our kids are in the room, but I really think that you shouldn't watch that show at all.
Yeah. 1 Peter 3, that a lot of you are familiar with, says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see their purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." And it's not only saying it's of great worth in God's sight, but that it has a great power in the life of your husband. So I think, as Nancy was saying, coming with humility, with grace, with quietness, more than with anger, resentment, you're a failure, you're being a bad husband and a bad father once again. Many men, when they get that message, are very, many men will give up. They say, "I hear you say things like you want me to be leader of this home, but every time I try to be leader, you don't like the way I lead."
And what, I don't care what you're trying to do or communicate with someone, what is really in your heart is really what's going to come out. So if you are angry with him about this, I don't care how much you sugarcoat it, the anger is going to come through. And so you're going to have to start by changing your own heart from anger to just genuine concern or hurt. You know, do you have a broken heart because this is happening? Or are you angry at him because he's this monster that's exposing himself and your kids to this? You've got to change. You have to change your heart first before your communication. Well, before God, you have to change your attitude first. And also, your communication will not, I don't care how good of an actress you are, it will not be seasoned with grace if grace is not in your heart to begin with.
And so begin by meditating on Scripture. As Nancy was saying, get your heart right. Confess your own sin before the Lord and come with that spirit of humility that basically takes the log out of your own eye, as Jesus said, before you take the speck out of your husband's eye. Now, you may be saying it's not a speck, it's a log in his eye. Okay, but the point of the passage is deal with your own sin issues before God before trying to help someone else correct their sin issues. And it makes a huge difference because then you can say, and one of the things I would recommend sincerely is to say, you know, I really appreciate how hard you work to provide for this family. I appreciate the way that you are involved with the kids and their sports. I appreciate the way that you'll spend time when you go down to Home Depot, you take the boys with you or the girls or, you know, whatever. And you do find the things he does you really appreciate. But there's an area that I just have really felt uncomfortable with, and that's the things that we allow the kids to see on TV, the things that we watch, which they're going to know we watch, and it's not just where they're going to know we watch. God knows we watch them. And there are things that our kids are getting exposed to, and I'm just afraid that they're going to become, for instance, that one day our daughter's going to get pregnant outside of marriage, our boy's going to be sexually active, and we're going to ask ourselves, what happened? But if we look back, we'll say, well, we let them see that kind of thing even when they were little, and it's a part of their lives. It's normal. And we and kind of help him to look down the line and say, I know you don't want that for our family, and I don't want that. Could we talk together about some of the things we could do? And some of those possibilities. So could we have a couple of days a week where we fast from the television, where the television is not on every day? Secondly, can we choose carefully in advance what we're going to watch and what we're not going to watch? On the internet, we need to have these purity guidelines, and I'm sure among the resources at our website, and you can check these online. There are Be Safe and many other types of internet monitoring, filtering type things where you can set the guidelines and put in the passwords and all of those kinds of things. So those are some of the things that you can bring up with your husband, and encourage him, pray with him, and encourage him and say, I do want you to lead this home, and I'm going to help you wherever I can, but then be honest and share some of the concerns.